Welcome to this post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Sunday, March 26th, 2023. The Hoosiers completed a doubleheader in Big Ten series sweep on Sunday at the BART against Ohio State. For the second straight day, the Buckeyes jumped to a multi-run lead early, and for the second day, the Hoosier bats responded, this time by putting up a crooked number and taking the lead in the bottom of the third inning. After the Hoosiers lost the lead again, Matthew Ellis had the big three-run blast in the bottom of the seventh to put the Hoosiers up for good. Luke Sennard went six innings, giving up four earned runs and a no decision. Craig Yoho got the win after allowing an inherited run to score the go-ahead run on a two-error pickoff play, then coming back and pitching two scoreless after the Hoosiers responded yet again. In Game 2, the Hoosiers jumped into the lead early in a tight game that was sealed by a 3.1-inning, one-run save by Luke Hayden. After the doubleheader, the media met with Coach Mercer, Ellis, and Hayden.
Coach, you've got, in this series, you know, you did pretty much what you have to think is by design, which is the pitching held the other team in every game to under seven runs, and your offense came through.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's how we built up this past summer, and that's how we've trained it. It's just, we've got to find a way. Our rule is six or less. And that's what we've preached from the very beginning, six or less. And it's going to give us a 60 to 65% chance to win. Statistically, our offense over the last several years, if we can keep them at six or less, we're going to have a 65% chance to win the game. And so the way that we hold runners, the way that we try to play defense, the way that we replace defensively late, everything we do is based around that. We try not to overextend guys on the mound. We try to get them in and get them out as soon as they start to decline and stuff. We try to get them out of there as fast as we can, all with that one thing intent. And it held true, and it held true. You know, you have faith in your offense, and because of that, you just try to mix and match the best that you can defensively and keep the best defenders who are also offensive players in there. And you're exactly right. You got to keep it a six or less. If we do that, we have a great chance to win. And we executed our plan. I don't want to say perfect, but pretty daggone good, and it was fun to watch.
With the bullpen down the stretch, there are a few guys that have thrown more recently than Hayden did.
Yeah.
What was the decision to go with Hayden?
Luke had a non-throwing arm injury, kind of a fluke deal. So he was out for a couple weeks as he kind of recovered. And I've talked about it, but we do live at-bats on our practice days. And they're critical to us, critical, because we're getting a chance to get guys in there and have live at-bats and see them. 2 weeks ago, it was Gabe Levy who had a really good outing. And then this past week, we thought Luke had a really good outing. And sometimes when you have a break, you're fresh. And his velocity was like 93, 96 today. With that mid-80 slider again, and his stuff it was incredible. So, you know, maybe it was God's way of giving us a little bit of a blessing, right? You don't want anybody to get hurt, but he was really fresh and fired up. And so we just like his stuff was the right matchup. And so when we had the bases loaded situation there, we thought Kern was a good matchup for him with the slider. Now he homered the slider later. Thank goodness he didn't in his first at bat. But I thought it was a really good slider matchup, and we got it. And we were going to start him. We had Phillips down there pretty much hot. We thought his 4-5 pitch mix would be good. But then it became pretty apparent that Luke's 93-96 with that really good slider, and he was commanding it. And as a coach, when a player's having a superstar performance, you just get out of his way. When he's having a moment, you just get out of his way. And that was kind of the thing to talk about in dugouts. Just get out of Luke's way. And you know, I give credit to him for continuing to have confidence and continuing to work. And that's what you have to have as a great team. There's 40 guys. And so each day is a different guy. And you have to keep working while you wait. You have to keep working behind the scenes, because you just don't know what today is. We didn't plan on playing three games in 24 hours. But to do that, it was going to take the whole team. And that's what it took. It took the whole team. And I'm just so happy for Luke as a person. You know, you like all the players, but, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for Luke. He's a local kid. And I'm just so happy to see him go out and just really put us on his back. We had to have it, right? We were at the end there. We had a couple guys. You know, Wes Burton was really good this past week. I felt confident with him. Ethan Phillips has been really good. So we had two more guys. But like I said, when a guy's having a moment, just got out of his way. He was having one.
You were down big early in game one. You were down by three game two. What can you talk about, like, your fight and resilience so far?
It's been incredible. And you know, I would like to take some sort of responsibility, but I can't. You know, it's just a great group of kids. It's just an awesome group of kids from great families. They just work so hard, and they've been through it. You know, they were, the first half of last year was a struggle. We all know it. I know it was a struggle for them, and I just think that hardened them, and they want to excel so badly, and they're so just starved for that level of success that they feel like they've earned, and they feel like they have a right to, that they just, you refuse to quit when you're so tough and you've been there. It's like, I'm not giving this away. We don't give anything away right now. We don't give at bats away. We don't give innings away. We don't give anything away. And when you're talented, which we are, we're young, but we're talented. And when you're starved for that level of success, it's just, when you go through the valley a little bit, right? When you go through the valley, it hardens you and it makes you appreciate the success. And they just refuse to give up. And win or lose, if you have that attitude, you're going to have a chance to win late. And like I've said a dozen times a year, I say it to the guys, all fall and all winter of the season, you know, it seems like 60 or 70% of games are a two-run game one way or the other in the seventh inning, and the tougher team finds a way to win. And we've done that time and time again. And yes, I would love to get out to a big lead and run away with it, but, you know, Ohio State's it's a great team. I mean, they've played really well. They've had some huge wins. They're really high RPI. I mean, they're a very talented team, really good on the mound, especially their starters. Great coaches, and so when you're in those dogfights like that, you got to get in the mud and make it ugly and find a way to compete your way through it, and we did it again.
I was going to use, I'm not sure if the right word's unorthodox, but the way you've done it with the pitching three innings at a time, it's worked so far, obviously outside of Sonardo's giving you six. Yeah. You know, as you get deeper into Big Ten play and face more like you had Friday with Isaiah Kupet and other aces, or you've got two guys that, you know, can throw six, seven innings on the other team. Does it worry you to have to keep piecing this together throughout Big Ten play, two, three innings at a time? Or are you confident that'll work throughout the season?
We'll see as we go. It's worked so far. It's the way we kind of designed it. We've designed it that way to get us off the ground. Now, would I like for guys to take those opportunities and flourish and extend their outings? Yes, absolutely. You just do the best that you have with what you have, and right now that's our best opportunity to have success, and it's working. And it's not like we invented it. You look at professional baseball, and Carl and I have talked about it in the past. Professional baseball does it a lot, and we kind of looked at it like, can you have an opener? Okay, so you have an opener. Said he did a really good job. Guess through three innings. Okay, so now let's go to a different profile, right? We thought Reisdorf had really good stuff. We thought the sinker would work. We thought it would be just too many free bases. You hit by pitches and walks. Okay, so you have then Seiler, which is a totally different look. You go from a four seam with a splitter in SETI, then you go to the 94-95 with the sinker and the slider, then you go to the lefty, and then you go back to the four seam with lift and slider. So you can create it. And if guys will just do their job, if we don't give away free bases, if we don't hit guys, don't walk guys, and we don't make errors, it will work. It works in Major League Baseball. It'll work here for us. We just have to do our jobs. And there was a couple guys that didn't do their jobs this weekend, and so it made it more strenuous, right? There's no reason a couple of those young guys can't go out and do it. They've done it. They have really, really low batting average against. They have metrically elite stuff. They just have to go through the battle a little bit. And so as we go through the season, if you have guys like Luke that are super talented that step up and have great performances, then it should continue to work. You know, in an ideal world, do you have three starters that go eight innings and a lefty setup guy, a closure, or a setup man in a closure? Yeah, that'd be awesome. But until we have that, this is what we have. And we're doing it well. And especially with our offense, it's going to give us a chance to win. It just worked against the team that has three established starters. The first two are really good, right? The Copay kid's excellent. I think the guys told me after the game, I didn't realize it's like one run in the last five outings. And the Bruni kid's ultra talented that threw in the first game today. And the third starter was fine. So it'll work if guys just do their jobs.
Coach, go ahead. Coach, I noticed in the fifth inning, I think it was, your dugout really just kind of seemed like it had an extra pep of energy. Game two, after you guys are flipped the script where you've been trailing all weekend, now you're ahead. Yeah. Did you kind of issue them a challenge to kind of stay ahead?
I did. You're in that moment where you're in the lull of it a little bit, right? You have a lead, but it's probably not going to sustain stuff. 3-1 is not going to carry it out. And I know where we have, and I didn't know Luke was going to go put the whole team on his back. But I kind of talked about it with the guys. Like, you have to have a sense for the victory. You have to have a sense of winning, and you have to know when winning time is. And it was time to win the game. We had the right guys coming up. I love the lineup. We had the depth there at the bottom with Bobby and Hunter. They could hit 1-2. and we had the right guys coming up. We'd seen that guy. It was the third time through the lineup, and I just challenged him. You have to sense it and you have to feel it and bring the energy and support those guys. And I will say this too, is that the offense has to do something to cheer for. Also, we get leadoff guy on, and it's like, okay, here we go. Let's feel, let these guys feel it and sense it. And I think it also is the other dugout can feel it too. It's like these guys just won't quit. They just won't stop. They just won't die. How are they excited? How are they fired up again? And you could kind of feel, I don't believe in momentum. I don't think there's an invisible hand that like sways, you know, God doesn't come down and push one way or the other, but I do have a great belief in confidence. And I think self-affirmations and in the belief in yourself and the feeling of your teammates believing in you, I think is very powerful. I think it's very powerful with the other team too. When they look over in the dugouts, just like Mardi Gras and going crazy and the guys are competing and won't give a pitch away. And it's like, uncle, right? At a certain point, it's like, uncle, golly, these guys just won't die. And yeah, I did. I got after them a little bit. And those guys responded to a great job.
You guys, take two more. You guys have sort of built this team identity of comeback victories. But today, right as Ohio State scores in the first game, you doubled it basically immediately.
Yeah.
Was there anything that you saw to explain the sudden spike of immediately attacking back?
It really was just he gave us a couple free bases, and then it was that second time to the lineup. We're really okay. I would love for us to go early, and sometimes we will, and sometimes we don't. But the second time through, those guys are so professional. You see those guys again, and we got to him. Right, he's a young guy. We got to him, and then what we did a really good job of is finishing the inning. Push, and even in that second game, you know, when they brought the big lefty in, we had like five consecutive like rocket outs. It's like, hey man, that's life, that's the way it goes. But we did that against him, he gave us a few free bases in there, we were able to push through. So yeah, I think second time for the lineup helps a ton. And those guys, they have a sense for it now. They know what winning feels like. They know what winning time is in those moments, and they're able to really buckle down and get people and did a good job.
You guys are now 14-0 at home this year. How comfortable and confident are you guys at home?
Yeah, we have great fans. We had great weather today, which was really nice. I think a ton of it is, again, I go back to this, but just the ability to practice every day, to work every day, and you can get things, a lot of things cleaned up, and they're super confident. We have one more home game, but we're going to have to go on the road and carry it forward. But yeah, I feel really good.
Last one.
How do you feel about the ability to fill out a lineup card that puts Bobby Whalen and Hunter Jesse in the 8 and 9 slot?
Yeah, it makes my day to be able to balance the lineup that way and go right, left, and all the way down. But I'll tell you what it really is like those guys to be selfless enough to assume roles that are a little bit unorthodox that you wouldn't necessarily think, statistically speaking, from the past and to now, that would be the right way. But as we kind of shuffled a little bit, it's really worked. And to have, because we're getting guys on base that, like 4-5-6, 5-6-7 are getting on base. And so then you go to 8-9, and it ends up being a huge RBI opportunity. A lot of really critical at-bats are happening down there. And it was really Coach Simmons. He was like, hey, what if you spread it out and put like the elder guys at the bottom there that are going to come up? Because they're all 27 outs are the same. And so who do we want up with guys on base consistently? And you know, today ended up being more of a starters, right? But they turn it up, they turn it over, where you just spread it out. But yeah, it makes it hard to make a lineup sometimes, right? It's you know, really, really juggling. You know, Pete's done an awesome job defensively and had productive at bats. Matt's improved defensively, has been tremendous. And so there's we have 10 or 11 guys that could play every day and be all conference caliber guys. But you know, essentially 10 spots at a time, 9 spots at a time. And so those guys have done a great job. But yeah, as a hitting guy, it makes me, you know, it makes my life a lot easier to know you can put those guys anywhere and they're going to go do their jobs.
It's got to be a little tough for the opposing pitching coach, though.
Yeah, you would imagine it would be a bear, you know, especially the last week or two here. You're kind of going, I've had several coaches come up to me and just like, Cali, you guys can really hit it so tough. There's nowhere to go for like, okay, we're past the 7 spot. It's like, okay, now we're going to get 2 outs and I got 2 outs and leadoff guy up. It's like, no, actually, those guys hit like 1-2 last year, so we're like in a really good spot. So, yeah, you know, we're able to do that. But it also is incumbent upon guys to play defense. It's incumbent up on Matt to play defense behind the plate, and those guys to play defense in the outfield. And, you know, Carter has to be good defensively. Hunter has to be good defensively. Devin Taylor has to be good defensively. Those guys have to, they have to carry their weight on both sides of the ball, or it doesn't work, right? If we field 850 in the outfield, then it doesn't work. It breaks. But we haven't. We've gotten better, done a good job. I've been thrilled. This is off topic, but I've been thrilled. We a huge emphasis on our cuts and relays. Huge. We practice it every day, and it's shown up time and time again so far. How many outs have we stolen in the middle of the diamond? 2-1 inning today. 2-1 inning. At third base, guy slides past, and then we have the run scoring double. We throw back in the middle of the field, taken out. We've had several outs second base. So those guys keep playing defense. Six or less should work because we've got really 10 offensive guys that we feel like we can run out there and do really good.
Matt, you guys have spent so much time this season coming from behind, but it looked like in the fifth inning you guys kind of got challenged to kind of keep piling on to your lead. What was that conversation like in the dugout?
It was honestly all led by Mercer. He kind of put the foot down and told us, like, now was the time to go. We kind of fed off his energy. You know, I think Bobby leads that inning off with a single, and maybe Jesse gets another hit or something like that. But I know we strung a couple hits together. Next thing you know, like, once we get going, you know, we're pretty dynamic. You got, you know, Bobby and Hunter down there with me, and It's a lot of motivation bringing up the bottom, you know, trying to be those older guys and get it back to the top and get it rolling. So, as you can see, once we got going, you know, that big inning there, it was really awesome to watch.
You touched on it, but what's it like being in a lineup where there really isn't, like, a bright spot, or it's so deep, and sometimes you're towards the bottom of the lineup, but it doesn't really matter because everyone around you can hit?
You're exactly right. It's pretty amazing to be in such a lineup that's, like, you know, challenging every day just to get in it, but once you're in it, really, you know, you gotta know you belong. You know, I think me, Hunter, and Bobby, kind of as the older guys toward the bottom, kind of like taking that, and, like, you know, we're gonna be the best, you know, 6, 7, 8, 7, 8, 9 that we can, and let those guys in the front keep doing what they're doing. And if we, you know, move up or move down, it's like, it's no different. You know, we could be batting fourth or we could be batting eighth. It doesn't matter. We're gonna go out there and give the best that we can.
Seems like at the beginning of the season, some guys in the lineup at different times would produce, and now it's sort of changed where the entire lineup is producing as one. Has there been any adjustments that you've seen recently that has sort of led to that unity?
I think a lot of it had to start with myself. When I tend to produce and stuff like that, get on base, a lot of good things happen. So once I kind of got going and stuff like that, you know, it helped out a lot. I think, you know, Bobby obviously bringing great at-bats. Josh Pine with some awesome ABs today, the huge double in that big inning, I believe. I think we really feed off each other really, really well. We give great insight on what we're seeing at the plate. We're all kind of mature. We all got a lot of at-bats last year, but I'm just Devin and Cerny, who are doing an awesome job. But we work with each other super, super well because we're in it together, so it's awesome.
How much do you model your game? In a lot of ways, you remind me of Kyle Schwarber. You're both catchers. You're both well-built with a lot of power to go very far. Obviously, you've both played at IU. How much do you model and look up to him as a player when you hit those long balls?
Yeah, obviously, when I first came here, that was, like, the big thing I talked to Mercer about. It was, like, you know, let's be the next Kyle Schwarber. And I was, like, you know, why not? It's a great, great place to be that. I think last year he tweeted at me, which was pretty cool. But it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a great example. Like, why not be like Kyle Schwarber? The guy's a similar position. Got a similar, like, you know, hitting philosophy, stuff like that. Great guy to look up to, and I'm sure he's an awesome guy off the field.
What does it say about your lineup that whenever you guys seem to fall down, your response is almost instantaneous to kind of reclaim the lead, advantage?
Kind of what I hit on earlier. It's like we give great, you know, if I go up to the plate, I kind of have a good idea because I've got, you know, Devin Carter in front of me. You know, those left-handed hitters are able to see, you know, tell me what they see. Phil, obviously, at the top as well. And the righties as well, they can communicate, you know, what they're seeing, you know, what they're feeling at the plate. It's great going up to the plate, kind of having like a plan. Before the home run, the first game, Hunter Jesse faced that guy the day before and I had him. And he was able to give me like a great, you know, idea of what was coming, you know, how to get ready for the guy in the box because he's a little weird. So stuff like that is kind of what makes our lineup so unique.
You were down 3+ runs a couple of times this weekend. What's kind of the approach in the box when you're down right there?
I don't think it alters a whole lot at all. We just kind of keep chipping away. We know, you know, we're one swing away from, obviously, that's kind of what we're known for. We're always one swing away from really being right back into the game. But as you can see, when we put at-bats together, you know, guys draw huge walks when they're in two-strike counts, you know, hit balls hard, make the defense make plays, you know, take extra bases, stolen bases, stuff like that. That's what really makes our offense so good and us have the ability to come back when we're down.
You connect. on that swing and it that ball flies so far. What's going through your mind as you're around the bases?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great, it's a great feeling. It's a culmination of a lot of work. You know, obviously I didn't get off to the start I wanted to, but really like getting back to, you know, what makes me a good hitter, that stuff, you know, it's a culmination of all the hard work. That's a great feeling. But it's also good knowing that I did it for, like, we're back in the lead now. So we get the lead back and, you know, we go out there and shut the game down. That's the best feeling, you know, now that we're in control of the game again and we can kind of do our own thing.
The pitchers had a couple of struggle periods over the course of the weekend. You got to catch two of those games. Kind of what is your conversations when you have to go out there and kind of calm a guy down when maybe he's losing the zone?
Right. It's a little different when you go out there and calm Ben Sauer down than when you go out there and calm, you know, like a guy like Rosdorf down. You know, that 4 years of experience, it helps a whole lot. So it's really not as bad as, you know, it's really nothing too crazy. You know, I go out there and tell them that we got their back and, you know, the defense is going to take care of them. And we kind of get a plan together for how we're going to attack the hitter. And the pitchers are really competitive. You know, that's what makes this pitching staff so good. As you can see this year compared to last year, our guys are competitive. They're in the zone. And they want to be out there. You know, it's like a guy like Luke Hayden toward the end of the game, hasn't pitched a whole lot, hasn't done as much as he wanted to, and he comes in and really nails it down. And that's kind of like what our team in Mo is about. It's like, you know, you may not be in there right now, you may not be doing what you want to, but when you're called, it's like it's time to go. And, you know, that was a great example.
On that home run, you showed so much joy rounding third base. Just what did that swing really mean to you, and how does the energy like that affect the team in a 3-game sweep?
No, I think it's an awesome experience, obviously for me, but it's awesome for the team to kind of enjoy that moment together. I think you kind of felt that same energy kind of fire from us in that last game, in the second game, that doubleheader, that big inning we had. You could kind of feel like you know what's coming, and obviously, you know, we all put it together, and it was a great event.
Mercer said that last year, the beginning of the season was a little bit hard to get through. So far in this young season, I mean, it's been pretty much the opposite. What's changed? What's been, you know, the key to this, you know, great run?
Yeah, I think early, you know, offensively, we weren't doing exactly what we wanted to do, but it really wasn't that much different than last year. You know, we were producing good at bats, in balls hard and stuff like that. And now we're starting to get some of those, like, results that we're looking for offensively. And you know, obviously, as the difference of last year and this year is the pitching, you know, we kind of have a team motto of six or less when it comes to defense. We kind of pride ourselves as a team-oriented, you know, run defense and stuff like that because we know how good we are offensively. So the biggest difference has been, you know, really honing in on defense and the pitchers really going out there and attacking, just attack the hitters. We got such good stuff on the mound. So just attacking the hitters has really been big.
We'll take two more.
You guys are still undefeated at home about almost halfway through the season now. In the Big Ten play, what are kind of the advantages of being at home and how has it helped you guys?
I mean, it's always nice to sleep in your bed when you're at home, but just getting in here early, getting the chance to get all of our swings and do our routines and stuff like that, that's something that's important to us. I think that carried us a long way, you know, just getting in here, really challenging yourself in the cages before the games, taking BP series, getting to watch the video on the arms or your hitting, and just, you know, being home. There's nothing like being home.
How nice is it have a nice day and a full house to pitch in front of? It hasn't, obviously the weather's been terrible, so the crowd hasn't been quite as big. Today was finally sunny out, and you had a lot of, and the stands were nearly full. How much does that help your pitching, and how great was it to see the big crowd?
I think it helps out so much knowing that, you know, there's 2,000 more people behind you guys, or behind our team, and we haven't had the best weather this spring. But, you know, the one time we have a doubleheader, it's 60 and sunny, and we pack out the BART, and it was awesome to see.
There were no sweeps last year. It was the first conference sweep for well over a year. You're a hometown guy. What was the emotion walking off after you sealed up?
Yeah, you just kind of look around. There's, like I said, there's a huge crowd, and this was the first conference sweep. And looking back, this is actually the third sweep in a row because we had Bellarmine and we're at State. And so it's just kind of building off those past two weekends. And, you know, when our offense and defense are clicking together, I think we're up there in the top of the country, and I think you guys saw it this weekend. And Merch has a motto of, you know, six runs or less, and we were able to do that every single game this weekend. And yeah, I think that's it was an incredible feeling being able to sweep.
Your opportunities have kind of been a little bit more sparse this season so far, but you're out there in the ninth inning, your mettle's being tested after that home run. What are you telling yourself, trying to compose yourself as you go out there and try and close it out?
I mean, it was a solo home run, and you know, I'm not gonna let it become a thing. Like, just get back on the mound and go right back at the next hitter. My thing was just don't let it spiral out of control. maintain control that inning, even though you give up a home run. Like, just get right back on the mound and go back at the next hitter.
Going off of that, you close it out. What are you feeling in that moment?
I've been out for a couple weeks, and so it was obviously nice to get back out there and to be in that big moment in a conference game. It was a really good feeling. Really pumped up for the team. It was a really, really, really good feeling.
After that injury, what was the process like getting back onto the field?
Well, luckily it was my left hand, so I was able to still grip with my left hand, but my wrist was kind of messed up. So I was in a splint for about a week and a half, but I was able to hold the ball. So while I threw, I just held the ball to resemble kind of a glove. And so I maintained my arm through that process and was able to kind of get right back in where I left off. So really nothing changed. I put on a little bit of weight, tried to get a little velo back, and I just kept working. I knew once I got through all the imaging and knew it wasn't broke, I just knew this weekend would be the first weekend to be available. So I didn't get behind anything. I just kept going and stayed on schedule. So,
speaking of velo, you tended to actually kind of go up in velo throughout your effort today. So what are you doing to maintain your velo inning to inning?
I think the weight helped a little bit. At the beginning of this year, I was about 193, and when I got to IU, I was a lot heavier than that. And so putting on a little bit more of that weight kind of helps me just maintain that a little bit. But the strength program that we have, our lower half, it's just gotten so much stronger, and it's kind of helped me maintain it as well as, long tossing and all that kind of stuff. Throwing high intent more often, it just kind of helps you. And obviously, keeping your pitch count down a little bit and not getting up there, that helps too. So, yeah.
Take a couple more.
How were you able to, you've had some situations where, where free passes have kind of snowballed, and you had one, but it didn't snowball. What was going through your mind? How were you able to refocus and get back on it?
Well, for me, that kind of stems back to last year where I was kind of up and down a lot, and I had outings where I would let innings spiral out of control if I had a freebie. But that was kind of the big thing from last year, and something that Merce always preaches is like, last year was a learning experience. We were super young, and so kind of taking that this year, I'm able to control my thoughts a lot better, and if I walk a guy or a guy hits a home run, it's like, oh, well, big deal. So just get right back on the next guy and don't dwell on that walk.
In the final game, there's a lot of options in the bullpen. You were saying that you knew that this was the first time you'd be available in a while. Did that sort of psych you up a little bit, just having that in the back of your mind?
Obviously I was excited to get back and compete again. But I didn't really feel any crazy emotions about, it's the first time in a couple weeks. They prepared as well. Our live ABs have been so game realistic that I feel like I really haven't missed a beat. So I just knew what I had to do and just try to go out there and do it.
That concludes this post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Next up, the Hoosiers conclude the Giant homestand with a midweek game on Tuesday, March 28th at 6 p.m. against Kent State. Then the Hoosiers head on the road to Happy Valley on March 31st for a series against Penn State. See you at the BART.